Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise, get right to the core. And today, well, we're looking at something pretty specific, but really important, I think. It's a GitHub repository called Chad Farrell Neural Test Feed. Sounds technical, maybe, but stick with us because this is actually about building infrastructure for a new way to support podcast creators. It's all tied into this idea of value for value or V4V podcasting using the Lightning Network. So it's not just code. It's potentially a different way for creators to get paid directly by you, the listener. Okay, let's unpack this. So first things first.
Right.
What exactly is this LNURL test feed repository? What's its main job in this V4V space?
Right. So basically what Chad Farrell has put together here is it's a collection of RSS feeds, but these aren't your standard podcast feeds you subscribe to for listening. Not really. Their purpose is purely for testing, specifically testing the integration of Lightning Network payments, you know, right inside podcast apps.
Yeah.
For this whole value for value model. Think of it like a live sandbox, a working test environment for developers. It gives them a real public feed they can point their software at to make sure everything works, make sure their apps, their wallets can actually understand and use these Lightning payment details embedded in the podcast feed itself. The main one, the link is https.raw.gitfsecontent.com. Chad Farrell neural dash test feed main public neural dash test his feed dot XML. We can put that in the notes.
Okay, a live sandbox. That makes a lot of sense. You need something real to test against, not just theory. But what's actually in the feed? What are the sort of building blocks inside that make V4V actually work, make it tangible?
Yeah, it's actually quite packed. It's got all the essential bits needed to make these direct payments happen. So, for example, you find what are called Lightning payment value blocks.
Value blocks. Okay.
Yeah, these are basically special tags, metadata, right within the standard RSS feed file. And they hold the payment instructions. And inside these blocks, you've got multiple real Lightning addresses and node chip keys.
So not just placeholders, like actual destinations.
Exactly. Live data points. This means developers can test sending actual tiny Lightning payments if they want, or at least simulate it realistically. The feed also includes a full sample audio episode, and it's already set up with these Lightning features baked in. And critically, it sticks to the standards, RSS 2.0, plus the iTunes and podcast index namespaces. So it plays nice with the existing podcast world.
Ah, compatibility. That's key.
Absolutely. It means it fits right in. So yeah, it's essentially a complete working example of how you do V4V podcasting.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. You mentioned real payment destinations. Can you give us a feel for those? Like what kind of services are represented in there?
Sure. It's got a good mix. You'll see addresses for services like Albi, so Chad Aff at Gettleby.com. There's Strike, BTC Pay Server.
Okay.
Zeus, which uses Cashew and Primal as well. Addresses like Chad Aff at Strike.me, Chad Aff at BTCPay.podtards.com, and so on. And beyond just addresses, it also includes actual Lightning Node pub keys. So you've got one labeled My Node, another called The Wolf, and even one for the podcast index project itself.
Right. So that variety must be really useful for testing.
Definitely. And lets developers check if their app or wallet works correctly with different kinds of Lightning setups, different services, different node implementations. Yeah. It makes the testing much more robust.
So what does this all mean? Let's break it down. For you, the listener, maybe you're a developer, maybe you're a creator. How do people actually use this test feed?
All right, it serves different groups. Let's take podcast app developers first. For them, it's pretty straightforward. They add the feed URL, like any other podcast, into their app during development. Mm-hmm. Then their app needs to parse it, find those special podcast.value blocks we talked about, pull out the payment info.
Okay.
And then they can build and test the user interface for sending payments, test the actual payment flow, make sure it sends to the right place, handles errors, all that stuff. And they can check their work against this known working feed. It saves a lot of guesswork.
Makes sense. What about wallet developers, Lightning wallet devs?
Yeah, similar benefits, but slightly different focus. They can use it to test LNURL integration.
LNURL, I maybe quickly explain that.
Oh, right. It's basically a set of protocols that makes interacting with Lightning services easier. So instead of manually copying and pasting long invoices, LNURL helps wallets automate things like getting payment details or even setting up recurring payments. So wallet devs can test that their wallet correctly talks LNURL based on the info in the feed. They can also test key send payments.
Key send.
Yeah, it's a way to just push a payment directly to a node's public key without needing an invoice first. More direct. So they check if their wallet can pull the destination info from the feed's value block and correctly send a key send payment. And they can test parsing those value blocks in general, and even test sending payments that get split between multiple people.
Okay, split payments too. We'll come back to that. What about creators? How does this help them?
for creators, it's maybe more about education and providing a blueprint. You can look at the raw XML of this feed, see exactly how the value blocks are structured, how the recipients are listed. It helps you understand how V4V actually works under the hood. You could even use it as a template if you're technical enough, or work with a platform that uses this standard to set up your own podcast for V4V. And then you can test it yourself using one of the compatible apps.
So it helps demystify the process.
Exactly.
And you mentioned testing. Has this feed been, you know, put through its paces with actual apps out there? Has it worked?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's been successfully tested with quite a few apps. Fountain, for instance, which is big in the V4V space. Breeze, which is a lightning wallet that also plays podcasts. Podverse, which is open source. Castmatic on iOS. Several have used it to validate their implementations.
What's fascinating here is that range. It shows it's not just a theoretical standard. It's actually working across different apps, different platforms.
Right. That interoperability is a huge success sign for the standard itself. And this test feed is a key tool in achieving that.
Okay, let's get slightly more technical then. Under the hood, you mentioned value blocks and standards. Can you give us a peek at how that XML structure actually works, especially for something like split payments?
Sure. The feed structure follows the specifications laid out by the podcast index, specifically within their podcast namespace. That's kind of the key for V4V. If you look inside the main podcast.value tag, which defines the overall payment method, like Lightning, you'll find nested tags called podcast.value recipient.
Okay, recipient tags. Makes sense.
Yeah, and each one represents a potential destination for funds. It'll have attributes like name like Albi or my node, the payment type like node or L address, and the actual address or pub key. But the really clever bit for splits is another attribute, split.
Ah, there it is.
Exactly. Yeah. You might see something like podcast.value recipient name Albi type L address, Chad Elevave at Gettleby.com, split 15. That split 15 tells a compatible app or service, send 15% of any payment to this recipient.
So you can list multiple recipients, each with a different split percentage.
Precisely. You could have the main host getting 70%, a co-host getting 15%, maybe the editor gets 10%, and 5% goes to the podcast index project itself. The app reads these splits and automatically divides the listener's payment accordingly.
That's powerful. It automates what would otherwise be a manual, messy process.
Totally. And it's all defined right there in the public RSS feed using this standard. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the whole feed was actually created using something called the DAMU feed template, and it adheres to the standards pushed by podcasting2.org. It's all about building on common ground.
Podcasting 2.0, right, that whole initiative.
Yes. And being open source on GitHub means anyone can suggest improvements. You can fork the repo, tweak the XML, test it out, and submit a pull request back to Chad Farrow. It allows the test feed itself to evolve.
That's great. So this deep dive into the Law Neural test feed, it really shows things are moving, doesn't it? We're seeing practical tools emerge for integrating these new payment ideas into podcasting. It feels like real progress beyond just talking about V4V. It's foundational work.
It really is. It's the plumbing, the test harness that lets developers build the user-facing features confidently.
Which I suppose leads us to a final thought for you, our listener.
Absolutely. This raises an important question, I think. As digital content keeps evolving, how might these kinds of open source tools, these emerging payment technologies like Lightning, how might they reshape the future for you? Whether you're a creator or a consumer, how could this change the way compensation works, the way you engage with content, not just in podcasts, but maybe across other media too? Something to think about.